Okay, county council is still tied up in the court, so we are maintaining our recess in board supervisor, and we're gonna move into the local transportation commission. And call that meeting to order. Are there any oral communications? This portion of the meeting is an opportunity for members of the public to address the local transportation commission on subjects related to county business. No action can be taken on matters not listed on the agenda. Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Seeing none, consent agenda. These matters are expected to be routine and non-controversial, and are usually approved by a single majority vote without discussion. Items can be removed from the consent agenda to be discussed and considered separately. Prior to approval of the consent agenda, the chair will announce that comments or questions will be taken from members of the public, staff, or the board on consent agenda items when a comment does not necessitate an item being removed for separate action.
I'd move approval.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Dawn's is fast.
New business, 5.1. Request presentation, discussion, and possible comments on the draft Central Sierra Zero Emission Vehicle Readiness Plan. Community Development Director.
Scott Moss, Transportation Program Manager. We've been doing a study with Amador County Transportation Commission, Calaveras Council of Governments, and Tuolumne County Transportation Council regarding zero emission vehicle plan, and it's to install charging stations and where they would be in the four counties. And today we have a presentation by Kevin of the Center for Sustainable Energy.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you, supervisors and members of the commission for the opportunity to present today. Brief agenda, we're gonna give an overview of this project and just an overview of zero emission vehicles, talk about existing conditions in the region, what are some of the highlights from the plan, which should have been included and attached to your agenda packet, talk a little bit about fleet, which was a aspect of the overall planning project, costs and funding opportunities for getting more zero emission vehicle infrastructure into the region, and talk a little bit of that, the outreach and implementation included in this plan. So the policy context, the reason why we're here and we're doing this plan, Governor Brown in 2012 issued an executive order calling for 1.5 million zero emission vehicles on the road and for the infrastructure to support these vehicles. And then in 2018, he upped that goal to be 5 million zero emission vehicles in the state of California by 2030, with the infrastructure to support those vehicles in place by 2025. There's also a whole suite of state regulations and policies kind of behind those executive orders that are pushing various state agencies as well as local agencies to work towards that goal. This planning effort is also consistent with existing local goals like Alpine County's regional transportation plan goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and to promote projects that can be demonstrated to reduce air pollution, and zero emission vehicles are a great way to do that. So the overall goal of this project, which was funded by a planning grant from the California Energy Commission, was to improve opportunities for ZEV readiness in the Central Sierra region and to address barriers to widespread deployment in both by private actors as well as public actors to promote ZEV infrastructure in the region. Make sure we're on the same page. Zero emission vehicles can include battery electric vehicles, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, as well as hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles. Hydrogen fuel cells are not as far developed. There's no infrastructure nor vehicles that would be anticipated in the Central Sierra region in the near future. So this plan is focused on battery electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid vehicles, the vehicles that plug in. And when we talk about plugs, there's two primary types. There's the fast charging, the DC fast chargers, which can offer a full charge or a mostly full charge in around 30 minutes, and then level two charging, which is charging on a 240-volt powered station. On a 240-volt powered station, you're looking at between 12 and 30 miles per hour of being plugged in. So those are best for longer dwell time locations as well. So when you look at existing stations in Alpine County, there's existing stations in three locations, the Bear Valley Lodge, Sorensen's Resort, and at Kirkwood Mountain Resort. And all of those plugs are Tesla-specific plugs. There was a program where Tesla, the automaker, was offering free charging infrastructure to hotels and resorts, and so these locations took advantage. But those stations only serve Tesla vehicles. Tesla's come with an adapter that they can use other public stations, but other manufacturers of vehicles can't use those Tesla stations. So when we look as a region, the four-county region with Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne, today we have around 400 vehicles in the region, and we expect on the high side there to be over 1,000 vehicles. Those are vehicles owned by residents in the region by 2020 and 2,000 by 2025. So that's a six-fold increase just in kind of locally owned vehicles expected in the next 6 years. There's kind of a statewide model called EVI Pro that we use that shows, you know, what kind of infrastructure would be needed to serve the residents and kind of in-county travel. And that state model identified a need for, there's a high, low average, but on average, 5 stations in Alpine County, 86 in Calaveras, 93 in Amador, 94 in Tuolumne, for a total of 278. There's about 60 stations in the whole region today. So again, about a four-fold increase just to serve kind of local residents. And then when we start adding visitors, we're gonna need a lot more charging stations because residents can often charge at home, but any visitors to the region will be, you know, fully reliant on public charging infrastructure. This is, showing based on some state travel data, which we're not sure is actually the best data, that for the whole four-county region, there's about 30,000 visitors a day. Those are trips that are originating out of the region and ending in the region. And then if we multiply that by how many vehicles are on the road statewide, which is about 500,000 right now, we think, you know, today or in 2020, there's probably at least another 500 electric vehicles that could be coming to this region just based on kind of their population in the state, which is expected to increase in the future. We've had questions on this 2040 number, and that's based on a state regulatory model of how many electric vehicles there will be required at minimum by state law. We think, you know, based on current market trends, that there's going to be a lot more electric vehicles. There's also, you know, been bills in the legislature that would do things like ban the sale of gasoline or diesel vehicles after 2030 or 2040. So we could, you know, right now is a good time to start preparing, maybe not for the future where we all drive electric vehicles, but where there's going to be a lot more folks driving electric vehicles. So we did a little bit of modeling, trying to break it back down to the county level just on vehicle visitor traffic. And we said that on top of the 3 stations that would be needed, public level 2 that would be needed to serve residents, we'd need an additional 2 for visitors for those level 2 stations. And DC fast chargers, which there's no DC fast chargers in Alpine County right now, 2 would be needed to serve residents, and we'd need another one for visitors, just kind of for traffic expected today. So on the level 2 side, with the existing infrastructure at Sorensen's, Bear Valley, and Kirkwood, we are actually above that number for level 2. But we think, you know, given the high number of visitors and, you know, when you look at Kirkwood on a busy weekend, more infrastructure is definitely needed, even more than these numbers that are identified specific to Alpine County in the plan. So we did for the whole region. We looked at kind of most of the populated places and identified kind of locations for charging infrastructure. So this is just a small map of Markleyville. And you know, basically anywhere there's a parking lot could be a good spot to put some level two stations. We do understand on this map that the there's plans to install level two charging at the Health and Human Services, Behavioral Health Services, just up the road here, two level two stations. We also, this map, the chart calls out just some of the locations we identified in Alpine County. So for a DC fast charger, the Alpine County Chamber lot just up the road seemed relatively central for the Markleyville district. The Sorensen's area would be a key connection for another one of those fast chargers. And then Bear Valley for folks going over the Ebbets Pass would be a key spot for one of those fast chargers to make that that connection. And then this map, this is Highway 49, kind of on the lower part of the screen, definitely the Highway 49 corridor, as well as 88 going into Amador. You know, we envision infrastructure being needed, the fast charging infrastructure along all these corridors. This project also included looking some at vehicle fleets. And we got data from 10 different fleets across the whole region, including the County of Alpine fleet. And we actually found, in looking through vehicles that are either available today or expected to be available in the near future, that there's more than 82 vehicles in the Alpine County fleet that could be replaced potentially with electric vehicles. Definitely any sedans, small SUVs, and light pickups are probably the most suitable for replacement, although there's some kind of medium and heavy duty electric vehicles now becoming available. They're expensive and they also are pretty limited in their duty cycle. These are identified in a kind of an appendix to the plan in a separate report that will be shared with Alpine County staff. But these are some examples of the kind of vehicles that would be available for fleet use. So there is a upfit to an F-150 or F-250 pickup truck where they add kind of a maintain the gas engine, but add a plug-in capability and an all-electric capability. Those kind of vehicles are, you know, pretty low risk because they maintain their gas engine. And especially as we heard earlier about disasters and mutual aid scenarios, you know, being limited with an all-electric vehicle probably doesn't make a lot of sense for those kind of fleet duties. There is also in the bus side, there's some kind of shuttle bus cutaway models that are offered in all-electric, and I think I mentioned on the next slide, there's actually a state mandate to move to electric transit. But you know, thinking not just for the fleet but consumers, Subaru now offers a plug-in hybrid version of their XV Crosstrek. You know, when you think all, there are some Subarus in the county fleet, but also lots of people driving Subarus into the county to go skiing or to go mountain biking. And there's a lot of vehicles that would kind of serve the outside visitor traffic. So just some the recommendations on fleet, and this is hard to read for anyone, but definitely the passenger cars, small SUVs are excellent candidates for conversion, and we would recommend the plug-in hybrids, the vehicles that have a gas engine as well as electric, if you're considering fleet conversion. That really minimizes range anxiety. There's also risk on charging if you're in one of those wildfire situations where they're shutting off the power, or they're shutting off the power for potential wildfire. Plug-in hybrid is a great option there. The middle one that's in bold is definitely, I think, most relevant to this commission. CARB, the California Air Resources Board, does have what they call the Innovative Clean Transit Regulation. That for small transit agencies requires that 25% of your new bus purchases after 2026 be zero emission, and all bus purchases after 2029 be zero emission. As far as I can tell, there's no exception for Dial-A-Ride, rural transit agencies, anything like that. The only exception is if there's not a bus available that has passed Altoona testing, meaning it's been approved by the Federal Transit Administration. That shuttle bus I showed you has not yet been approved by the Federal Transit Administration for transit use. It's being mostly used as an airport shuttle or a campus shuttle. But we do know the manufacturers are working on that approval. So that's something that this commission is likely to face in the future, is to consider if it has to comply with that state law for new vehicle purchases, or maybe you just need to replace your buses before 2026, before that mandate hits. But there's also other incentives for purchasing any of these vehicles, as well as infrastructure, which I talk about. There is a lot of grant funding and other financial opportunities to help purchase vehicles and infrastructure. Someone already mentioned this, but you know, we definitely recognize unique challenges to the Central Sierra region, from the cold temperatures, mountainous terrain, remote locations, and the utility interruptions. And so for your fleet, we would definitely recommend looking at those plug-in hybrids. There's actually been some plug-in hybrids demonstrated that the vehicle itself serves as a backup generator and offers power export. So that's, you know, if the county was looking for a vehicle in their fleet, a plug-in hybrid that also can serve as a generator powering an emergency facility, something like that, it could actually be a great opportunity for the county. One other action for the county is on EVCS permitting. Governor Brown signed a law back in 2015 called AB 1236 that required all jurisdictions to adopt a streamlined permitting process. We did take a look at Alpine's process, and there's nothing in your actual permitting process that is not streamlined. Electric vehicle permits are offered over the counter like any other simple electrical permit. But the state of California, part of the streamlining is they want information posted online and to have a specific checklist or information bulletin made available by each county. The county has not yet adopted that sort of checklist, but one is included as part of this plan that the county at a later time can consider and should adopt. There's no kind of teeth behind this regulation from the statewide level, but the state is actually in the process of launching a map where they're going to start coloring counties that are compliant or not compliant. So to show up as green on the map, you'll want to make sure you're compliant with this state law. And finally, some information on costs. That's always the big question. What do these stations cost? So level two, which are the charging stations we expect the most to be installed, there's kind of the hardware, the cost of the actual charging station, the cost of permitting, and then the cost of installation. It can vary widely depending on the site type. The picture that's hard to see is actually a picture at Kirkwood. So they have all the stations kind of lined up right outside a building. That was a relatively low-cost installation. But per station, the hardware can be between $400 for what we call a non-networked or a dumb unit. That's just kind of a simple piece of power supply hardware, up to $6,500 for a fancy communicating all the bells and whistles piece of hardware. Permitting is just, that's your local building permit fee, and then installation, $600 on the low end, up to $12,000 if you're talking about doing per unit, if you're talking about doing major electrical upgrades. We hope more installations can happen at the low end of this than the high end of this, but the installations do come in at all costs. And the DC fast chargers, those generally require three-phase 480-volt, kind of high amperage power. The units are much more expensive, so those DC fast chargers can be between $20,000 and $100,000 per unit installed. Locally, the closest DC fast chargers, as I mentioned, there's none currently in Alpine County, but there's some at the Raley's in South Lake Tahoe and the Raley's in Gardnerville or Minden. So there is some, there's already some network locally to travel to, and Alpine County could help fill that gap. I do understand that Tesla is working in the Kirkwood area to install some Tesla-specific DC fast chargers, but I don't know the status of that. So some considerations when installing charging. You know, there's questions about ownership. Are these going to be free or paid? Do you want to have parking enforcement? I think, you know, is there support for drivers? I think for this region, you know, the most immediate goal is just to get some more chargers in the ground. A lot of these smart chargers that have access control, ability to pay, need a cell connection, which I know can be problematic, both in this county and the Central Sierra region. So the stations that are out there right now are the non-networked. You just kind of plug in and they work. Sorensen's asks you to be a customer of Sorensen's to use those chargers, either eating at the cafe or staying at the inn. So, you know, we would expect that other businesses might want to, you know, put the charging out, offer it to the public, or offer it to customers of their businesses as an amenity. And funding is an important thing. This plan itself did not include funding to build these stations, but like other planning grants, you know, one of the goals in this plan was to point you towards forms of funding. And the best one for this region right now is Liberty Utilities. So Liberty does have some programs that are offered by the Public Utilities Commission that are supposed to be launching soon. We don't have an exact date, but that pot of funding is for all of Liberty Utilities service territory. So Alpine County will be competing with El Dorado and the parts of Placer and Sierra that are in Liberty Utilities district as well. So they're offering $1,500 for a residential. So any resident who wants to install a charging station for their own use at their house will be eligible for $1,500, $2,500 for a commercial public level two. And they have $4 million total for DC fast chargers, which may be about 10 DC fast chargers installed in the whole region. We understand that some of the Markleyville businesses are already talking to Liberty about bringing one of those stations here, and we would definitely, you know, encourage this board and encourage those businesses to make sure that that goes through. There's also the Electrify America program that is part of Volkswagen's diesel emissions scandal settlement, where Volkswagen's paying for installations. The Central Sierra region was not identified as a priority for investment, but they were investing in the 395 corridor, including a station in Bridgeport and in Mammoth. And they're also investing in some stations kind of on the other side of Yosemite on 120 and the 41 going down into Fresno. So there's starting to be a regional network of infrastructure. And, you know, we want to make sure that the jurisdictions in the Central Sierra are ready to kind of play their role, help businesses access this funding, and hopefully we can get more infrastructure built out. There's also a state loan program and another state grant program that will be offering competitive solicitations and again would encourage and can help, you know, the jurisdictions in this region potentially apply for some of those future funding opportunities. And, you know, finally, a lot of the actions taken in this plan won't just be done by the public agencies. It's really going to be up to the business community to adopt and build a lot of this infrastructure. So included in the overall plan is an outreach plan and materials that are geared towards enabling the different counties and transportation agencies in the region and the local municipalities to, you know, engage their business sectors to make sure they're aware of the plan and aware of these funding opportunities and make sure that they have the information necessary to guide implementation of these stations, which will hopefully lead to, you know, more infrastructure in the ground to support these electric vehicles. And toolkits, we created a couple different toolkits, one just for kind of public charging hosts, public agencies, one for businesses, and another on fleets. And those are all being put on the Tuolumne County Transportation Council website is where all these, they're the lead agency on this plan, and all these materials are going to continue to live on that website past the end of this planning project. And so just some final kind of recommended next steps. Definitely for this region, since the projections are pretty low in terms of actual need, we think this region should go beyond the state projections in siding infrastructure to serve both your residents as well as to support that visitor travel. Make sure this plan is integrated into your local planning efforts, complete that permit streamlining. And when looking at infrastructure, as you know, we mentioned the power interruptions, there's definitely best practices to coordinate the vehicle infrastructure with distributed energy resources to enhance resiliency, whether that means using that plug-in hybrid to actually serve as a generator or having EV charging at sites that, that have backup power and you can run EV charging off of generators. And you know, continuing to track plan progress, you know, maybe in your next regional transportation plan, including an update on the number of stations. And then the siding and implementation recommendations, definitely utilize and promote these funding opportunities. We recommend a 20-mile radius of DC fast charging, that we should have this kind of charging about every 20 miles on our highways. That's difficult on the seasonal mountain passes. But, you know, outside those, if we can get it at 20 miles, that provides a lot of backup for drivers. If one station is not working, you can make it to the next, things like that. The fleet transition, and the last thing we've seen work in other regions is supporting kind of a regional EV expert or technical assistance program, which has been funded by the Energy Commission in other regions, but, you know, maintaining a call line and some staffing that can help people who want to apply for funding and implement this sort of charging. That's my contact info. So the we are, you know, still accepting comments on this draft plan by the end of the month. I know that the chair had submitted a few that we'll integrate before we finalize the plan. But we're happy to take comments now and questions now, as well as continue to receive any comments on this plan for the next few weeks.
Thank you. Supervisor Woodrow.
Yeah, so I have a couple of comments. So when you were talking about Bear Valley, there are two Tesla-type charging sites that were put in several years ago by the Bear Valley Business Association. They were the ones who put that together. And they also purchased two other non-Tesla charging stations, but they're just running into roadblocks with the company that's the electrical company that's going to put them in. The site that had been designated was the Bear Valley gas station. So I didn't know if you had that information, because we've actually purchased those a couple of years ago and we're just trying to get them installed, and there's just been a couple of roadblocks there. But you also mentioned just the east side, which most of these meetings talk about only east side. Liberty, but we have PG&E on the other side and also up in Kirkwood, and so it talked about funding opportunities on your link that was on the website here. We didn't get a copy of this, but I pretty much found the whole thing on the link here. So are those PG&E opportunities still available, or?
So the PG&E opportunity for public charging is actually fully subscribed. They launched their program back in late 2016, and it's fully subscribed. The hospital down in Sonora got 10 stations from that PG&E program. There is a PG&E program for medium and heavy duty vehicles, which could be for school buses, you know, or trucks or things like that. And there's definitely a chance that PG&E will be going back to the Public Utilities Commission for authorization to do kind of more programs. But PG&E right now, there's not funding for more public level two directly from PG&E.
Okay, so does Bear Valley need to contact you regarding their other charging stations that they're trying to put in?
Yeah, I had not heard about that. So I'm definitely happy to follow up directly with them and see how we can support.
I can have the Bear Valley Business Association contact you, or president of that contact you. So your information is right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Supervisor Rico?
Yeah, I've got a question for you. A person that's just not that familiar with these charging stations, what kind of maintenance is required on these charging stations, and who is responsible for the maintenance? For instance, if somebody backs into one or something like that, who's responsible?
That's a great question. So there's a couple different kind of business models out there. In the case of the Tesla stations, Tesla kind of gave the property owner those stations for free, but the property owner says, I will maintain them if something goes wrong. And so it's kind of the property owner is, you know, who installed those stations on their property becomes responsible. There are situations where the property owner is just allows a charging company to site their station, and the Raleighs in South Lake Tahoe and in Minden as well, that's a charging company actually owns those stations and is just paying Raleighs for a little tiny corner of their parking lot, and so that company is responsible for coming out and maintaining those. Generally, the stations haven't needed a lot of maintenance. The biggest issue is if someone leaves a plug on the ground and you drive over the plug and crack the plug, but almost any qualified electrician can replace that kind of plug. It's like wiring up a dryer outlet, and installing these stations in general is just very similar to wiring up a 240-volt dryer or stove outlet as well. So there is some maintenance. Potentially local electricians could do that maintenance, and it just depends on who owns it, on who's responsible.
Thank you.
I'm just copying down this information because we do not have it in our packet, and I can't read it from that far away.
Supervisor Jardine.
Yeah, so it'd be in the interest of businesses in Martinville to contact you to look at funding opportunities, because I know there's several folks interested in installing these sites in Martinville and Woodfords.
Yes, you can definitely, you know, we'll make sure this presentation's around. I can leave business cards as well, and you can just give folks my business card, and we're happy to follow up.
If you could leave those cards with the clerk, then we're in.
Supervisor Ames?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, the county supervisors had a convention, and there was a vendor there that actually had a falls off of a backs up of truck and folds out and solar panels and a track underneath it, and it was a portable generator plus it would make enough power for someone to plug in their car. I don't remember if it was a Tesla or it was other cars. I think it was more other cars. But it stated they could go anywhere there was sun and they could have a power hookup from everywhere. Wouldn't that be better for you to do that in some of our remote areas that we have where we don't have businesses perhaps, and that would be kind of the answer for that spot?
Yes, absolutely. So we mentioned that in the plan. When we did the siting, we were, you know, focused on, you know, areas that did have power. And originally we identified some campgrounds, and then we realized that those campgrounds have no power. Lots of people right now do charge at RV parks because RVs often have 240-volt outlets, but your Forest Service campgrounds don't have power. But yeah, the solar is a great option. The Fresno County Rural Transportation District got a grant and deployed 13 of those charging stations in rural areas of Fresno County. So those stations are fairly expensive, but if you can get a grant to fund those kind of solar stations, we also looked at them if we wanted to put one at the top of Ebbets Pass or Sonora Pass that, you know, during the summer season and then remove it before winter, that would be a great option as well.
And that's where I was going with this. It could be a movable issue that could go for the seasons and wherever the need is as well. It could be a more applicable position because they touted it as very portable, a 2.5-ton truck, fits right in the back of the bed of the truck. It's real easy to move around. Now, and then you also said that to use the electric cars as a generator. Well, you need an inverter to make sure they can use AC, and not all electric cars have inverters on them, do they?
Yeah, that's correct. That not all electric cars have an inverter that's exportable. So some of the trucks specifically are being designed up front to have that power export capability so that you can kind of run tools or other things off your truck. And PG&E specifically had demonstrated some of these larger plug-in hybrid trucks that was based on a diesel medium-duty truck, where they could actually, you know, use that truck, tap in next to a transformer and power kind of even a whole neighborhood off of the truck. But that was a specific demonstration that PG&E did. But yeah, that average vehicle doesn't have the inverter for much power export. But there's also, you know, programs and demonstrations where there's an external inverter that you plug into, you know, when you're at a facility, and then it feeds back into the building power.
And I've heard in the industry is going to, an inverter is going to be standard in almost all electric cars anyway, because there's been a thought that that's going to be the future of it. It's not that much of an add-on to a car for an inverter at that level anyway.
Yeah, and there's an ongoing state process around vehicle grid integration that is, in the future, charging stations that are going to be installed will have the capability to take power back to the grid, and there's kind of standards being developed for that. But right now, it's been done on a demonstration basis, but it's not kind of widespread. There's not one industry standard for doing that yet, but it's under development.
So if I can make a statement about this, it looks like the future is almost here. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so the future's here now, in terms of that there's 500,000 electric vehicles on the road in California, and we're well on the trend to get to 1.5 million by 2025. The future where it's, you know, fully integrated, seamless, easy, whiz-bang technology that works for everyone is maybe a little bit farther off, but there's definitely, you know, 500,000 drivers today that many of whom are, you know, into outdoor recreation, who would want to come, you know, who live in the Bay Area and want to come up here to recreate, and we want to serve those today. The other thing to note is the actual charging unit, the station, you can change out in the future when new technology comes, but often the expensive part is actually the wires going from your power panel out to the parking lot. So there is requirements in state building code, if you've adopted current building code, that new construction includes pre-wiring for electric charging stations. So that's in current California building code. So in the future, you can put whatever kind of fancier or more featured unit on there if you already have it pre-wired.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation. I'm excited about the future.
Thank you.
I learned a lot by reading the presentation that you put in it was in the agenda packet, and I read the whole thing, not just the summary. But this is neither here nor there, but I'm pretty skeptical about some of the future predictions. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen a lot slower than we think. But that's just my observation. So are there any comments from the public? Questions? Hartnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Hartnett and members of the board. Some of this has already taken place. Three business owners invited me to participate with them from my technical background in electrical industry, and they invited Liberty Utilities to come out here, and we met at the back of your parking lot. And you might want to contact them, based upon what the gentleman said about funding opportunities. They are interested in spending that money, and they have multiple applications already to help them spend that money on these chargers. And he highly suggested that if Alpine County was interested, through these business owners, that they have quite a lucrative interest in installing those things, and they would own them, which answers Supervisor Rakow's concern about maintenance. So I would suggest that you get a hold of Rich Harvey or John Baker or directly to Liberty Utilities and see if this is your interest in what Liberty offers. It was quite lucrative, and in contrast to what you said, it doesn't require three-phase for all of those full chargers. Liberty Utilities provides single-phase out here, and they're willing to come off of that pole that's out at the end of your service road, and that's not three-phase. But they would install it, so it doesn't affect you any.
Yeah. I think for economic development, I think it's important that we have some of these chargers scattered around town, and probably down to Woodford as well. But I mean, is this something that the business owners are going to do on their own, or do they really need the county?
Honestly, I don't know, but it would be on your property, so I'm guessing that you would have to be involved because it's on your property. Zach was there to participate, and he's a electric utility vehicle, owner of electric car, and he offered some technical experience from his experiences. But the county would have to be involved, I guess, if it was on the county's property. But this particular one set of, and they were talking about three, chargers would have been at the end of your parking lot, close to that pole, and Liberty would have installed everything, including the chargers and the electric service, to make it work on their dime. Mm-hmm. Is that it for me?
Depends what comes up next.
Okay.
Brian.
Brian Peters, Community Development Director. Just a couple things real briefly. I've been in contact via email. We haven't actually talked yet because he's been on vacation with the Liberty person who's running their program, which is this cost share. So we're intending to try to take advantage of that for the two units that will go at the Behavioral Health Services building. The circuits are already in. The contractors put those circuits in. This is just the charging units out at the curb. And then we can also talk to them about our involvement at the end of our parking lot down here, because that is on our property, and what that would look like. And then the only other thing I wanted to add is that Kevin is making the rounds. I think you're going to Calaveras tomorrow, and then the other two counties that are involved in this with presentations, and then any comments that you have that you would like to see addressed in the final plan. Supervisor Griffith had emailed some comments, and we have those, and then we have yours today, Terry, on the two units that potentially that the business association is doing at the gas station. So we'll get that information. So if you have any other comments that as a board that you want to see included in the plan, you could do those today. You could also, there's some time to just follow up individually as individual board members. If there's something in that plan that you have a question about, you can contact me, and then we can relay the information over to the consultant group. So
I'll have Joel give you a call then.
So just wanted to let you know about that.
Any other questions for Brian?
Just look forward to moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, that's from my point of view too. I don't know what the rest of the board feels, but if there's an opportunity for the county to make things easier for these things to be installed, I think it's, I don't imagine people are going to be driving through here in the wintertime looking for a charge. But
that's when they'll be coming.
That's when they're going to need a charge.
Exactly.
But I think it'd be worthwhile for us to figure out a way if we can maybe not help financially, but in other ways that we can help encourage, getting a few of these charges around. Okay. Any other comments or questions on the board? Members of the public? Okay, with that, the Local Transportation Commission meeting is adjourned. And we will reopen as the Board of Supervisors.